Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness, and we thank you for your love, and we lay all things before your feet. And God, we just pray you would speak to us this morning, your word, and we pray your word would go out and just touch people's hearts, every person that hears it, and just multiply it out, that they could look to you and have a great confidence in what you're doing in their lives. And so I pray you anoint me, the Spirit, and I just speak things of the Spirit. And I pray each heart would be open to receive of the Spirit in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. We're going to start off, we're going to look at 2 Kings 19, verse 35. And we'll be in 2 Kings most of the time, a little bit in 2 Chronicles, but on the same subject. So 2 Kings. Now the title of this message is More Than Talk. And I'm going to read this verse and you're going to go, oh yeah. God's more than talk. So 2 Kings 19:35. And that night, the angel of the Lord went out and struck down 185,000 in the camp of the Assyrians. And when the people arose early in the morning, behold, these were all dead bodies. Now, in this world we're living in now, and all the nonsense that's going on, plus the difficult situations we face every day. You know, it's nice to know that God is more than talk. He's just more than talk. And so we shouldn't be intimidated by what's going on around us, because God's got the upper hand and he has told us a lot of things, but he is more than just talk. Now, this verse, you know, shows us God's faithfulness to the answer to Hezekiah's prayer for deliverance. Hezekiah definitely believed God was more than just talk. And so let's look at this and see where this came from. How did this all start out? We look at this incredible situation where God has moved, but let's look at it and kind of learn what built up to it, and so we can make some application, you know, because we look at the end and go, oh my gosh, look at that, you know. But what about before, when you're just asking God and the things look impossible? What about before? And so that's what we want to do. We want to go before and see what happens before, so we can get to this point and see God move in such a powerful way. Now, for Hezekiah, it happened like this. The Assyrian Empire, unless you're just a real history buff, you know, you've not, doesn't mean a lot to you, the Assyrian Empire. But at one time, the Assyrian Empire was the strongest empire in the world. And it had all the Mideast, and it controlled all the Mideast. And actually, this time, it had come down, and it was from Syria and current-day Iraq, and came down through all of Israel and into Egypt. And it had basically conquered everything. And it conquered all of Israel except Jerusalem. You just have a little city there. So these guys were wreaking havoc. And I always, you know, a little footnote, and you can look this up, is the Assyrians, of all the armies and the nations in the past and how bad they've been, the Assyrians were noted for being incredibly ruthless, ruthless. And they prided themselves in being ruthless. And so you have here, Hezekiah's in Jerusalem, surrounded by this massive army. And that's his situation. That's his situation. And what we see here, too, in this ruthless attack, as we read through this, we see that this is not only an attack on Judah, the country, and Hezekiah. It is an attack on God. And we'll read through this, and the king made a real strong point that it was an attack on God. He said, don't give me this God stuff. And so this is what you have set up here. It's kind of interesting. And it's important to look, because we go through anti-God attacks now. You know, there's a lot of anti-God attacks. And anti-God attacks will always lift up man and government over God. That's what they do. All right? And so by definition, therefore, by definition, when we trust in God, we directly confront man and government as the ultimate authority. Now, can you see the tension rising up? Okay, the man, ultimate man wisdom, the government is ultimate. And said, well, we trust God is the ultimate authority. It's a clash. It's a clash. And man, unbelieving man, and government know it quicker than believers do. See, we're just kind of, okay, we trust God, and we kind of float along a lot of time. And the government and man without God immediately knows this is a confrontation of their authority. And when the communists took over Russia, Lenin said, and one of the things they had to do is eradicate religion. That was the first thing they did. And Lenin called it the opium of the people. Isn't that interesting? Called religion the opium of the people. You know, so you got to get rid of it. And so that's the reason that you would have these countries like communism or something. The country is over everything. That's the reason you can't tolerate religion. Because as soon as you say, I trust God, you put God as the authority. Conflict with the government. Anyway, so it's nothing new. Okay, just nothing new. And so it's good, this is like the title to the message. It's good to know that God's more than talk. God is more than talk. Now, what we want to do is let's listen to these attacks made 3,000 years ago. Almost 3,000 years ago, these attacks were made. And I just took out certain parts of it. You can go through these sections and read the whole account. But they're almost identical. What they said 3,000 years ago is almost identical to what they're saying now. So we'll see. This is what the king of Assyria said to Hezekiah through his messenger. Second Chronicles. Now this is in Second Chronicles, parallel in Second Kings and Second Chronicles. Second Chronicles 32:15. Now therefore, do not let Hezekiah deceive you or mislead you in this fashion. Do not believe him, for no God of any nation or kingdom has been able to deliver his people from my hand and from my hand of my fathers. How much less will your God deliver you out of my hand? Okay, lines drawn, isn't it? And again, we're going to conquer you. We're greater than your army. We're going to do it. No. Your God will not deliver you. Don't believe. Hezekiah is telling you something. Do not believe what he's telling you. Man in government is the ultimate authority. They say, don't believe in this God nonsense. Look at this massive army. Look at your hopeless situation. No help's coming. That's it. That's the setup. Then, and that's the setup now. Hasn't changed. Isn't that amazing? Hadn't changed a bit. So here we have. So, and what happens when you have this situation, they start communicating this to you. You know, I mean, they're letting you know up front. And so when, you know, push comes to shove, well, wait a minute. These people really do not agree. And they're starting to write out. They're actually putting it on paper what they believe, and they're against God and what I believe. So they start sending nasty emails. Nasty emails. Nasty Facebook posts. Nasty Twitter posts, you know. So they do send nasty letters attacking God and our foolish position. This is what happens. Because they can't just let it go. You know, just kind of, no. There's an attack. Because what we have done by belief, we've established a confrontation. And we don't even know it. We just, you know, we think, well, I just love Jesus. Well, that was your mistake. Okay. Anyway, so here we go. And so we see this again in 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 16 through 17, with Hezekiah and his situation. So the king's messengers wrote a letter. It says, they said still more against the Lord God and against his servant Hezekiah. See, more against God and his servant. You can't separate the two. So, more against Lord God and against his servant Hezekiah. And he wrote letters to cast contempt on the Lord, the God of Israel, and to speak against him, saying, the God of Hezekiah will not deliver his people from my hand. I mean, he's not happy to pick on Hezekiah. How dare you call upon a God to confront me? It's not going to happen. Not going to happen. You got the letter to prove it. Now, so what are you saying? They say your God will not help you. Now, we know in that dilemma, okay, in that dilemma, when we face these dilemmas, we know where to go, right? We know where to go. We go to the same place Hezekiah did. And then look in 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 14. 2 Kings 19, 14. So this is where we take these attacks, you know. By the way, what have we done that's been so nasty? What have we done? You know, what does Hezekiah do? He exists. Our issue in the world is we exist. See? And they know we exist because of the God we trust. So they attack God because they know that's our issue. Okay? That's our issue. Okay, so here we go. We know what to do. Same thing Hezekiah did. Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. You see the picture? I got this letter. I go in the temple of God, and he spreads it. He spreads the letter before the Lord. Now, I'm going to share with you, many times, I've done this very thing. I've laid my situation before the Lord, before God. I just bow down or on the table or something, and I just lay it out there. I just, this is it. I've written things that were heavy on my heart, and I spread them out before the Lord to see it. So I write it down, you know, and say, okay, God, look at this, just like Hezekiah did. And so we see this, and I would pray not as eloquent as Hezekiah did, but maybe a prayer very similar to what Hezekiah did is I lay it out and I pray to him. And so as he laid it out, this is what he prayed in 2 Kings 19, verses 15 through 16. Now, there's no overhead for this, so you'll just have to listen as I go along. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord, the God of Israel, enthroned above the cherubim, or the angels. Okay, I'm going above the angels. I'm going straight. Enthroned above the angels. You are the God. You alone of all the kingdoms of the earth. Now, this is the king's serious issue. Right here. This is his issue. He just said it. Hezekiah just said it. God, you're king over Assyria. See, the king of Assyria knew that's what he is saying. You know, not happy with it. Anyway, get back here. You are the alone are king over the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Heaven and earth. Hezekiah wasn't an evolutionist. you made everything. See, so Hezekiah is totally out of step with this guy, you know, in front. But this king knows Hezekiah's out of step with him. There's no secret between these two. So he asks that you have made the heaven and earth. In verse 16, it says to God, God, incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. And hear the words that the king of Assyria, which he has sent to mock the living God. He said, look what this guy said. It's letters to you. God, he's mocking you. Hear what he said about you, God. And so I think that is fascinating when you look at that. So what we do when we pray and we put these things in this world, and again, the whole point is make application and what we stand on now. Okay? Oh, now, because nobody can look around the world and say, oh, we're just smoothing along, everything's just fine, and we'll have a meeting one day and we're going to solve all our problems. Not happening. And again, I'll just throw in this, look, part of the issue is us. For them, the whole issue is us. See, it's us. And you say, well, you know, religion. And they'll claim religion as long as you don't get too fundamental and actually believe it. I mean, you say, oh, you know, good loving God. But this is what the Bible says. This is what, no, you can't do that. You can't do that. See, and you're getting way too serious about this whole thing. So we can't go there. And so it's nothing has changed. So what we do, what our prayer is, going against this attack on God, attack on us, we declare God alone is God. Another issue. Another issue. Well, you can have whatever, but you can't say, what about this, what about this? Well, I just know God alone. Now we're an issue again. See? But he said, remember, he said, God, look what they said about you. See? And we have a God that's more than talk. More than talk. Okay? And we see our God made heavens and earth. So we pray, and this is what Hezekiah prayed. All right? Dear God, hear. Dear God, see. Dear God, hear the words that are mocking you. Now, someone said, well, God always hears, God always sees, God always knows, so you don't have to pray it. Now, Hezekiah prayed it, and I know he sees it here. I'm praying it. God, open your eyes and see. God, open your ears and hear. God, did you see this? You know, so those are good prayers. Hezekiah did it, and we see God answered that. And so by doing this, personally, by doing this, I really have seen answers. I've seen answers to this. And what's interesting, since I wrote it and put it on the table and said, look, I have documentation of my request. I go, what? Gosh, he did this right here. Oh, my goodness. See? So maybe that's one of the reasons he wants us to write it down so we remember we even ask it. But so this is a situation that going before God, I said, God, look, here. You know, see, we're saying and having a relationship talking to God, and God saying, that's okay. That's what I want you to do. Because that means your eyes are set upon me. That means your eyes are set upon the solution and not the problems around you. But anyway, no matter what we say or what I have said, I know God hears. I mean, New Testament says it over there. God hears. God hears. You know, you're right. He hears. Old Testament, he hears. So we know that, but it's good when he tells you, I hear, isn't it? You know, it's good. I hear you. Well, see, this is what happened to Hezekiah. So Hezekiah had this, oh my gosh, he took this letter, so he praised the God. Well, at the same time of Hezekiah, we have one of the most famous prophets in the Old Testament. It's the prophet Isaiah. The same time. So the prophet Isaiah is during, he's here in Jerusalem. So Hezekiah prays his prayer, and Isaiah says, good prayer, Hezekiah. This is what the Lord said. So you have the prophet that gave Hezekiah some confirmation. This is the reason it's good. Sometimes you Lord will lay a word on your heart and say, encourage someone and, you know, encourage that, hey, Lord, lay something on my heart, and I want you to know that the Lord's really speaking. He's got you. Well, that happens. That's what we should do. We should say those things because it's confirmation of what God's already told somebody else. Amen? You see what I'm saying? So it's really powerful to do this. Well, this is what happened to Hezekiah. Isaiah said he sends Hezekiah a message. Like he just said, good job. Way to go, buddy. No, he didn't quite say that, but you get the idea. But look at 2 Kings 19, 20 through 21. 2 Kings 19, 20 through 21. No overhead for this, but just listen. Then Isaiah, the son of Amos, sent to Hezekiah, saying, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, your prayer to me. See, what Hezekiah said? This is what God wants to tell you. Your prayer to me. That means God heard it, didn't it? This is what I'm telling you. Your prayer to me, your prayer to God about the Assyrian king, I have heard. Oh, I mean, things just got better, didn't they? They just got better. He said, I just want you to know. And God's saying this, I just want you to know. What you pray, I have heard. And then he goes on and says, this is the word that the Lord has spoken concerning this king. Now he's going to tell Hezekiah, this is what God said. And he says it just like God's saying it to the king. And that whole prayer is fascinating because God's like speaking to this king. This is what I say to him. And so it's the answer to Hezekiah's prayer. So God says, I've heard your prayer. Now God speaks to the Assyrian king as he speaks to our problem. Now see, think about this. Heard your prayer about this Assyrian king. I'm going to speak to the Assyrian king. God, I'm praying to you about my problem. God says, okay, I'm going to speak to your problem. You know, say, well, answer. No, he's going to speak to it. He's going to speak to our problem. And that's something we can think of. As we pray, say, dear God, this issue here, I'll speak to the issue. And he does. And he does. And it's incredible encouragement. So what he speaks to this king. Now this king. Okay, now this guy, now look, I mean, he's in the history books. You can look up. This guy was like a big rooster strutting around. Okay, I mean, he's whipped everybody he's come in contact with. You know, you've seen these pictures, the cartoons, the rooster strutting around. This is what this guy's doing. And so God speaks to him, and he tells him this. 2 Kings 19:25. Have you not heard? you got to make you laugh. Oh, you old tough Assyrian king, have you not heard? Have you not heard that I determined it long ago? I planned it from days of old. What now I bring to pass? You're done. And this is no surprise. I know you're here. I know you whipped all those people. I know you have Jerusalem surrounded. I know you made these mocking things. I just want you to know. Don't you know that I determined that long ago? Don't you know I planned it? Don't you know now I'm going to bring it to pass, everything I said? That's what he told him. That's what he told him. God, and so what we take from this, God knows what's going on. God goes, what's going on? See, that's our thing, isn't it? He really doesn't know. God, you don't know how bad this is. You're letting this slip through your fingers here, God. You don't know what's going on. And so that's an issue. And so, but he does know what's going on. Our situation is not a surprise to God. Oh, my God! You know, the only person that didn't know it was you. Okay. God knew it. God knew it. And he is more than talk. And in this case, God tells Hezekiah, I'm more than talk. This king's not a threat. King's sitting there. He's looking over the, you know, he's just two eyes looking up over the wall. 185,000 Assyrians that whip everybody. All from Iraq to Egypt, and you're looking at, and they're right here, and you're all that's left. And God goes, it's not an issue. That's what God told Hezekiah. It's not an issue. I know what's going on. Now, what do you say? God, did you count these people? Did you get hung up like on 10? I mean, 185,000. So, the king's not a threat. All the king is a pawn in God's divine government to carry out God's divine work. See, the key piece in this is Hezekiah. Key piece. You know, not this. And so he goes on to tell the evil king of Assyria, he says this, 2 Kings 19:27. But I know you're sitting down and you're going out and coming in and you're raging against me. There's a psalm that starts off and says, God just laughs at the countries. I mean, this kind of sounds like a laugh, doesn't it? Don't you know? I know you're sitting down. You're going out, you're coming in, and you're raging against me. Yes, I know everything. You're doing all that. I know it. Absolutely not. See, God informs this non-believing Gentile king that he was aware of every action, including his blasphemy, insolence. I know what you're going to say. I hear it. I know when you go to dinner, I know when you come back. I know. So, likewise, to us, likewise, our own tribulation are known by God and have greater meaning and purpose than we can imagine. Hezekiah, looking over the wall, he says, this ain't good. It's not good. You know, no, this is going to be good. No, I don't see it. I don't see it, God. Okay. But said, no, for Hezekiah and for us, it has a greater meaning and purpose than we can imagine, because we can't see from God's perspective. We can't see it. Therefore, we need to be secure that God sees, hears, and knows everything, and is working everything for our good. Reputation. Yeah, everything. And Romans 8:28, look, it says the same thing. He must have read this. I don't know. 8:28 says the same thing. Work all things for your good. Nothing's changed. He said, Now I'm doing something. But I need you to don't run. Stand, okay? Because I need you there. I put you there. I need you there. All right? And so this is what he's saying. And so when surrounded by our problems, we need to see God is a God of more than talk. God more than talk. With this, we gain strength to hold steadfast. Like Hezekiah, God will deliver us. That's the issue. We don't think he will. We say he will. We'll read this story and put kids, we'll make a little flannel graph. Wouldn't this make a good video for the kids? I mean, oh man, you know, wouldn't it be fun watching this? You know, okay, this is true in your life. No, it's a good video. You know, it's exciting, and yeah, I did that, but you know, today, and you know, it's different now. You know, it's like God goes, no, this is a picture of how I work, and what I did for Hezekiah, I will do for you, not because Hezekiah is so tough, but because Hezekiah trusted me. And I'll do it for you, not because you're so tough, but because you trusted me. Consistent all through Scripture. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, the Almighty God says that this is the truth for today. And he says that the Christian life is more than talk. The Christian life is more than talk. I'm going to share three verses with you, and I challenge you to memorize these three verses. Okay, these three verses. I challenge you to memorize them, because what they're going to remind us of, that God is more than talk. He's more than talk. And these verses, just call it out. Just call it, well, I believe Jesus. Do you? Yes. Then you're going to believe these three verses. You'll memorize these three verses, and then you're going to trust on these three verses. And if you memorize these verses and trust on these verses, you're going to be absolutely fearless. Absolutely fearless. Why? Because that's what God told you. But I don't. Then what's the issue? You don't know. That means where's the faith? Do you know you're going to go to heaven? Yes. How you know? You just said over here you didn't believe God. How are you going to say here? Yeah, I'm dead as a hammer and be resurrected. You know? Well, I believe that. But I don't believe he can help me now. You know, I mean, this is kind of goes against physics. You don't think this goes against physics? You see, well, so here's the question. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, then you believe the rest of it. Oh, it may be a challenge. We, you know, okay, God, you need to teach me and we'll walk in. But that's part of the story. But it's like, if we believe in the resurrection, we believe in this. If we don't believe in this, we don't believe in the resurrection. I mean, Maybe you do, but I mean, you're kind of walking on thin ice. You can't pick and choose. You can't pick and choose. So, are you ready for these verses? You ready? Okay, now, so here we see God says he's more than talk. He's more than talk. And we see this thing. I mean, he just killed 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. I mean, you would go, yeah, he's more than talk. That's Old Testament. Now, let's hear what the New Testament says. Ready? Hear what the New Testament says. New Testament has lots of words. Lots of theology. Lots of words. 1 Corinthians 4:20. The Apostle Paul said, the kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but in power. I'm a Christian, but I don't believe any of the gifts here today. I don't believe in any miracles. I don't believe. What do you believe in? Talk? He just said, it's not a matter of talk. It's a matter of power. So who's that message to? New Testament. Me and you. He said, it's not a matter of talk. I mean, you're sitting there looking at Wallace. He's talking, talking, talking. He said, no, it's not a matter of talk. It's a matter of power. You got to, there's things happening. It's power. It's not talk. It's power. So as Christians, we walk out. We don't step out and talk. We step out in power. That's amen? That's what he said. That's what he said. That's what God said to us. That's what he says in the Word. Okay, everybody got that? Now, that's not a long memory verse. Y'all get that one, huh? That's not long. We can do this one. I can do this one. I'm not a big memory guy, but I can pull this one off, all right? So, we say it's, gosh, God doesn't consist of talk, but in power. Old Testament, I mean, we just saw it. Oh, my goodness gracious. But New Testament, yeah, you're going to continue to see it. But even more so. So now we have, but we will say, okay, I'll talk for us. Me and you, me anyway, we say, we're too weak. You can't do it. You just don't know me. I mean, I can't do it. But God says, we're perfect to show his power. We say we're too weak. No, you're perfect. Your weakness is the perfection for me to show my power. Your weakness presents my power. Look at it. See, and it presents his power because we are jars of clay, and the power in us is from God. You see what I'm saying? We're a jar of clay. But wait, you're a jar? Yeah, you're a jar of clay. See, he'll agree with us. You're a jar of clay. I said this prayer. This just came to mind. And I was a new believer, and I tried to understand. I just never been to church. I did read the Bible once through. And I remember praying this, and I felt, I said, God, I don't know what, I just feel so insignificant. And I swear he spoke to me. I swear. And it was early on. It was enough to go, huh. And you know what he told me? He goes, yes, you are. That's what he said. He agreed with me. I said, I'm so insignificant. He goes, yes, you are. And it's like, and it's a believer, all the weight went off. What? God knows it. I'm fine. You know, he's good with me. I'm good with him. You're just like, okay. And all of a sudden, there was a fundamental element. It's like, okay, it's about God. It's not about me. But to understand about God, I had to understand about me. And what I didn't know at the time, I'm an earthen vessel. Yeah, I'm just a clay jar is what I am. You know, and it's not a lot of powerful, not a lot of power in clay jars. And so what we are clay jars is clay jars. We show that the power is from God, and we show God is more than talk because we're a clay jar. Amen? Isn't that fascinating? Next memory verse. Here, this is just, come on. Paul says, but we have this treasure. What's the treasure? Jesus, God, Holy Spirit. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. You ever see somebody say, look at me? You know, that's a clay jar bragging.
That's all they had. Look at me. It's a clay. Anybody, I don't care what anybody says. It's a clay jar brain. Some preacher said, look to me. Come to me. You want to go to a clay jar? And that's what he's saying. But the clay jar is going to say, man, I'm a clay jar. Anything is God in me. It's what's in the clay jar. See? So there, great memory verse. We have this treasure in jars of clay. Why? To show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. He doesn't want you to say, God, come, people come to me. No, he wants you to go to God. I'm just a clay jar. Go to God. Go to God. Go to the Word. Clay jar. All right? And if you're a clay jar, it's like, could God kill 185,000 Assyrian soldiers? Well, yeah. Lord, okay, if that's what you say. Can he perform any miracle Jesus performed? I ask you this. Could God perform through you any miracle that Jesus performed? Think. I'm going to ask you something. Where is Jesus? Where is Jesus? Where's the? He's in the clay jar. Therefore, he can do anything he wants to because of what's in us, because we're a clay jar. And the best way we can get there to work, I'm a clay jar. You know, wow. That's what's, God, I just feel so significant. It's because you are insignificant. You're a clay jar. Oh, but that means when you realize that, you realize on the full power of God. See? And then you can do all things Jesus did as a clay jar. Amen? Great memory verse. Everybody agree that's a great memory verse? Hallelujah. Clay jar. I mean, that could stir you to memorize it. Clay jar. We have this treasure in clay jars to show. The reason we have it, to show the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. He wants it not to belong to us. It comes from God. It's within us. Now, here's number three. So here we are. Oh, Lord, we're walking in. Dynamite talk is power. We're a clay jar. He's living within us to show his power. Now it says, what can happen? What can go? What can God do in our lives in this world? By the way, remember, I want to remind you as we step back, remember what world we're in. Same one Hezekiah was, surrounded by 185,000 Syrians. See, so that's the world we're in. God didn't change the world. He's trying to get us in tune to change us, so he can work through us over there. Okay, ready for a third verse. Okay, third memory verse. This is a good one. God tells us that he can do much more than we can imagine. So I can't even imagine that. That means God can do it. He does more than we can imagine. Our mind, well, I'd like to do this. It's like, no, God can do more than that. You're so limited. Like Wallace, I just told you since Nathan, come on, I can do more than what you're thinking. I can do more than you even imagined. See, because you know, you understand who God is, the magnitude of God. We don't know, God, how can you fix this issue? How? I mean, God, how? You can't even imagine what he would do. God, how? 185,000 soldiers, they whipped all the ancient world. How in the world could you defeat this army? How? What army could we get? How could we get? What tactic could we use? And they wake up, oh my God, they're all dead. Well, that, I didn't ever think about that. See, that's why it's more than you can imagine. So this world we're living in, God can do more than we imagine. And so what he wants us to do is like, no, come, I've already told you I'm more than talk. I'm a power. I'm a power. And we have this treasure in a jar of clay, you know, and I'm going to do stuff, but God, I can't. No, it's more than you can imagine. Ephesians 3:20. Ephesians 3:20. Now to him, to God, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly. Now underline that. Far, those, every single word is in the Greek. Far more abundantly. I mean, that's adjective, or, I mean, it just continues. For he is able to do far more abundantly than we ask. Oh, God, You know, I can do more than that. Or think. Some Bibles have imagine. Some Bibles have imagine. He do more than we or even think. We can't even think about it. More than you think. But since you ask, I'll trump you one and go over and do more than you ask. For him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think. According to the power at work in the clay jar. I kind of overbit. According to the work within us. God, how can you do more than we ask? How can you do more than we imagine? You say we can do far more abundantly than we ask or imagine. According to his power at work in us. Oh, God, give me your power. Got it. You had it before you had it. You got it. See, he didn't ask for it. No, you got it. Oh, God, no, you got it. The clay jar. You know, you said clay jar. You got it. The surpassing power in you. Okay? The clay jar. And so it says this power is at work. That we're walking around. Well, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how to pay the bills. I don't know what the kids are doing. I don't know what's going on at work. And God said, I mean, you're just working away and you're just complaining like nuts, but I'm working. I'm doing something. Help if you pay a little more attention. But I am doing my job. I am working. See, because what I say, now to him who is able to do far abundantly, then all we ask, think, according to the power at work within us. Amen? It's happening. See, it's a done deal, and God is telling us it's a done deal. That's what he's telling us. So great memory verse, okay? Memorize that. Now I'm going to throw a little addition in here. That word at work, it's at work in us, okay? You see, I think I underlined it on the overhead. According to the power that's at work in us. What that word means, now this is important to me, I don't know. It means to put forth power. So according to the power in us that's putting forth power, it's power that's putting forth power. And so I got power in me. Yeah, it is putting forth power. That's what it's doing. I got in me. I'm just strutting around with the power. You know, the power in you is putting forth power. Or another meaning can be, or it's to work effectively. To work effectively. Or I have power in me to work effectively. Oh, I can't do that. Oh, it'll never happen. Oh, no. You have the power in you with this Jesus that will work effectively. Well, how does he do that with a clay jar? He can't, a clay jar can't do nothing. I've had people tell me that clay jar can't do anything. But we have the power of God that makes that clay jar to work effectively. Amen? Do you see that? So I think that's a cool word, but they put to work. So, but it means you have power to work. How can we do it? Power within us, the clay jar. Clay jar can't do it, but the power within us gives power to work effectively. Amen? Now, encourage. Come on, tell me that encouraging. Lord Jesus. So look at those three verses. Well, I'm going to memorize those three verses, and I'm not going to believe. I'm losing worth now. I can't do this. Not going to do this. Job's going terrible. Kids going terrible. Wife's going terrible. Husband's going terrible. Everything's wrong. You know, fooey. He said, God goes, what are you doing? What are you doing? You sound like a clay jar. You sound just like a clay jar. You know? Like, oh, okay. But what's in the clay jar? Oh, what's in the clay jar? Oh, what's in the clay jar? And then all of a sudden, it will start move by the power within to work effectively. Based on the scripture and based on the power of God. And all God's people said, hallelujah. I'm getting excited. I hope you are. I mean, I wasn't this excited when I put this down on paper. Amen? Okay, so what we have here, there's a power within us that puts forth power so we can be effectual. This is a powerful truth which God intends for us to fully embrace. See, this is a done deal for the church. This is a done deal for the church. The only problem is not God. The problem is us. We don't believe it. Oh, I believe it. I'll wait and see. Okay, you say the same thing about me. So it's powerful. So I'm going to say, all kinds of people say amen. Hallelujah. Now, there's something I'm going to add here. There's a qualification. And you're going to be surprised at this. Now I'm going to just say based, you know, just on what I have here, what I saw here. There's a qualification. And with this powerful truth, there's a warning to stay away from something. There's a warning to stay away from something. And, you know, I was like, oh, yeah, stay away from sin. You know, everything. Well, that's not the warning. Well, stay away from evil. Well, that you should stay away. But that's not the warning. Stay away from danger, you know. But that's not the warning. Listen to the warning. Listen to the warning. Stay away. You ready? Stay away from people who have the appearance of godliness, but deny the power of God. Holy, bad word. Oh, gosh. Lord, stay away from people who have the appearance of godliness, but deny the power of God. These people have a negative impact on God's people. All the sin, all the evil, you know, all the danger. No, these godly sweethearts that come with you with no power. 2 Timothy 3:5. 2 Timothy 3:5. These people, having the appearance of godliness, they look good, they're nice. You all right? Feeding the poor, helping old ladies across the street. It looked good, all right? These people, having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power, avoid such people. See, all these sweet people with no power infects others with their powerlessness. See, this kind of brings us in the church, doesn't it? We know every people out here, they don't know Jesus, yet they don't believe nothing. It's not talking about them. We know they don't know nothing. We don't listen to them. You know, they're just telling us, you know. But no, you've got good people, godly people. I won't say good people, but they have appearance of God. And they're nice people. You know, like to have a cup of coffee with them. But they have no power, and their lack of power infects. Their powerless infects godly people that trust in Christ. See, but what we do, so it's like, oh my. You know, oh, I don't need all that power stuff. I just love Jesus. And I'm like, no, that powerlessness infects the church. Church is supposed to be powerful. Powerful. See? Powerful. So what we do, we end up, we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, and we are fully convinced that God can do more than anything we ask or imagine by the power that's at work in us. Therefore, we declare with confidence. Y'all ready? We declare with confidence. 2 Timothy 1:12. We declare with confidence right here. I am not ashamed. Oh, wait, see, everybody's telling you crazy, Hezekiah. I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. That's a proclamation of a clay jar. Amen? Hallelujah. And so we're just all little powerhouses around here. Amen? Hezekiah was on the complete defensive, overpowered, and couldn't do anything. One of the king's threats to him, Hezekiah says, I'll give you 100 horses if you could just find 100 men to get on them. Oh, hey, that's a little smart aleck. This really was, you know? And it's like, no, it's like, no. You don't know who you're talking to. You don't know who you're mocking. And I believe the Lord Jesus Christ is going to do all sorts of things through this clay jar, through that clay jar, through that clay jar. Why? Because it's God. It's not the clay jar. Amen? Isn't it fun being a clay jar? Hallelujah. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your goodness. We love you. Lord, we want to serve you. God, I thank you for your word. I mean, you challenge us to step out based on who we are. You're not telling us to be somebody else. You're just telling us to be who we are, what you called us to be. You said, this is who you are. This is who you are. Now act like it. That's it. Now act like it. And we believe and we trust that certainly we're a clay jar, but we're a clay jar that has a treasure of the Lord Jesus Christ in us. We thank you for that, that you died for clay jars. We thank you that we're one of them and that you've empowered us and you have sealed us for all eternity. And we give thanks to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.